Sorry, guys.
Fuck off, Omar. Mark.
Fuck you, Omar.
Jinx.
Okay. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Hello and welcome back to the Inebriated Podcast. I'm Mike, and once again, I'm joined by Mark, Omar, Ian, and Erica. And this is an extra special episode because we're finally in the same place recording an episode. Studio 19B in Midtown. So, this is a very exciting moment for all of us. For the last few months, we've been doing this remote, so it's good to be in the same room finally. So the focus of today's episode is going to be Loki. We covered the first two episodes in our last podcast. So today we're going to talk about the show in its entirety. Last Wednesday, the finale was released on Disney Plus. I think there's a lot for us to kind of dig into here, but let's just start with going around the horn with general thoughts, and everyone also tell us what you're drinking. We'll start with Ian.
Hey, hello, welcome, thank you.
And it begins.
Anyway, I'm drinking a Japanese whiskey called Peak Whiskey. I found it at a liquor store, and it is a nice price point. It's about $30. It's a beautiful bottle, and it's a nice light whiskey. Drink it with some ice. It can get you nice. What I have to say about this show is I loved it. I don't know if anyone else liked this show. Everyone hates it from what I've heard. I'm being sarcastic.
I was stunned. I was like, really?
The show is fantastic. Everyone all around, MCU finally knocked it out of the park. They finally made a show. This is like we talked about in the last episode. It's the most complete of all the shows that they've done so far. Tom Hiddleston, I'm a fan finally. I mean, after Kong Skyline, I was a fan, to be honest. But I'm a fan of Loki. They finally got me. That's the one thing about MCU is that they've made me like characters that I didn't like as a comic reader. I'm not a huge Loki fan. I wasn't a huge, I don't want to, spoilers, but I'm not a huge Kang fan either. But Jonathan Majors is going to be amazing to watch for the next 10 years, 15 years, however long it's going to be. I was honestly blown away. It really, I can't get it out of my mind. I can't stop thinking about it, I didn't go crazy. I didn't, go full Mephisto dive in this. It's clearly that they're pointing towards Kang for most of it. So it was kind of safe to say. And, and it was a kind of like, it was a bit of fan service. And this is clearly, the one that was supposed to, they decided was the end of these for now for the first set. So it had to kind of end and give us something huge, as opposed to, the lackluster endings of Falcon, Winter Soldier, and WandaVision. I yield the rest of my time.
Are we still doing that? Why does Ian sound like an 80s like R&B DJ?
Omar, what do you think?
I enjoyed it. I kind of want to echo what Ian's sentiments about like certain characters being more enjoyable or I'd like to say fleshed out in the MCU versus their comic counterparts. Like kind of Loki was always kind of almost like a cartoonishy like 80s villain to me. Like he was always kind of like Starscream almost, or someone like that. So he was more three-dimensional, I think, in MCU, especially in the show. And I love seeing him go from like the conniving, like, traditional Loki to like someone who gives a shit about someone else more than him. I thought that was great. I love that character. Thank you, Ian. In wrestling, we'd call that the face turn. So I actually really liked that. I liked watching his relationship with Sylvie evolved. I thought that was really great. That was really entertaining to watch. But honestly, my favorite scene was in the last episode, the whole like cat and mouse kind of like conversation between Loki, Sylvie, and let's be honest, it was Immortus, not the one that shall remain. It was Immortus. Like, fuck off. I love that cat and mouse. Like, is he lying? Who's lying? Can you trust this person? Which Owen Wilson's kind of like cat and mouse with Loki in the first couple episodes. I could watch those two just like bullshit each other for like 2 hours. The two greatest bullshitters in Hollywood, I think. It was just really, I think Owen Wilson was perfect for this show. He was like my favorite thing in the whole series.
Omar, what are you drinking?
I don't want to say because I've been made fun of for like 40 minutes. But
do it.
Say it.
Do it.
El Gato Negro.
There the finest, it is.
The finest of $5.99 bottled twist cap wines. Fuck all of you. I'm poor. This is what I can afford. So fuck off. It's 13% and it's delicious. Fucking
get
bougie
it.
Motherfuckers.
As get it, bro. Get it.
It tastes good.
Yeah. Fucking bougie up in here, man.
Ian, can you cut Omar's mic?
Erica, what do you think? Omar's
mic. Hello. I loved it. I am actually drinking Ice Cream Socially Distant, the base. It's an imperial stout ale with strawberry, banana, and vanilla. And it's from Jake Wakefield Brewing, brought to me by Alan Annie as a birthday gift.
Yeah, shout out to Jake Wakefield Brewing in Miami. It's an amazing brewery.
So fun. My thoughts on the show? Loved it. Obviously. I've loved it from the beginning. The second half was great. You did get to see them actually build a relationship, which is something that Loki hasn't had or hasn't allowed himself, because he always felt he needed to conquer something, or like they kept saying, the greater purpose is what he had, right? He's always trying to rule something or conquer something. And this actually says, this I guess showed or gave us a bit of humanity on the Loki side, him with Sylvie. And just getting to the end, I mean, obviously spoilers, making choices. So yeah, I thought it was an amazing show throughout, like from beginning to end, even what they were saying was like a filler episode. I enjoyed, what was that, 3, I think?
I just want to add that I was not looking forward to this show. When they initially announced it, my first thought was like, oh, they're just trying to like, they're trying to milk it. With Tom Hiddleston and you know, he's become popular, trying to milk it. But they really turned out a great show. So I gotta say, I stand corrected.
Yeah, he's amazing as an actor. I've always liked him.
I think part of that, to what you're saying, is, and the same kind of thing is the thing we're gonna talk about towards the end of the episode, Black Widow, is that these are the paydays for those guys. They don't get the scale that the other guys get through their own films when they're in those ensembles. So I think this is Marvel's way of like being like, you've been good this whole time. You've been key. So we're going to give you a project where you're going to get bank off of this, because he's producing this. He's behind everything on this. So
yeah, well also like with ScarJo with Black Widow.
Yeah.
But they didn't phone it in. Like they could have just phoned it in so he could get some money. And they didn't. And because even with the comic books, I kind of roll my eyes when a popular villain gets his own series. But like I said, they really, same thing with Joker. Like I was thinking, ugh, whatever. And then you watch it and it was good. I'm sorry, I yield my time.
So yes, that's all I had to say.
All right, Mark, tell us what you thought and what you're drinking.
I am drinking a Fat Tire Amber Ale. And my opinion of the Loki show, like everyone else here, has been that it was great. Loved it from the first episode. Not much more that I can add that everyone else said. But everyone else, I did enjoy the interaction between Loki and Sylvie and Loki and Mobius. I really did enjoy the character growth that Loki experienced during this show from point A to point B. And especially like in like that last episode where he's fighting Sylvie, spoilers, I guess, to see who takes over, or to see what they do with Kang or Immortus, sorry. And he's like, I've been here before, right? I've been here before. I've done this. Trust me, this is not what you want to do. I like that he's come full circle and now he's taking that hero's path, right? He's not making the same mistakes he made, you know, just, I guess, days before, right? Over and over again. Right. So he's you know, he's kind of becoming that person that he always could have been. So for me, that I think that's the best part of the show. And Jonathan Majors did an amazing job in that final episode. Holy shit, was he great. So good. And, you know, I'm excited to see what he does with Kang the Conqueror in Quantumania, and whatever more he does in the MCU. Totally hyped for that.
I just want to add, I think for the rest of the podcast, if we're going to see Kang, we got to say Kang the Conqueror.
But he's not the Conqueror.
No, but
though.
He's not Kang the Conqueror.
Omar, you're wrong.
The crazy thing is, like, I'm sorry, I don't want to go to the next question, but it's just, it's amazing to me just the choice of actors they chose.
He was
for
really
him.
Good.
Fantastic.
He's amazing, and honestly, he's been amazing in everything I've seen him in so far.
Yeah, when he was doing his whole like kind of smarmy, like, you know, like the kind of like crazy, sarcastic, almost like Joker routine. I was like, I kind of rolled my eyes at first Because, like, to me, like, that's not Kang or Immortus or whatever he was. Dude, within, like, 2 minutes, I was like, oh, my God, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, he's a, like, as an actor, like, he draws you in.
Yeah. He's like, it's funny, because the Spike Lee film that he was in, the what about Vietnam, the five, whatever it's called. Yeah, that was Brothers. He's the son of Delroy Lindo,
right?
And I was like, at first I was like, oh, he's out of his water, like he doesn't know what he's doing with these guys. And then as the movie goes, I'm like, oh, this movie's really about him. Like I was like, and then I watched Lovecraft after that, and I was like, God, this guy's gonna be a superstar.
Sorry, you see how much smarter he is than them? Like he can predict everything, but also his experience, and he portrays that. It's just really impressive how he drew that in and how he grasps you.
Well, that's the thing. It's like it's great because they didn't age him, so he looks, you know, he's 30 something years old, late 20s, whatever he is, but he was able to play this role that, you know, and this is only the first way we're going to see him. Like, we're never going to see this again until maybe the end of this,
maybe the end,
which will be great, you know, full circle. I was blown away by it, and honestly, the fact that they gave Kang up so quickly,
yeah,
I was like, I don't have to watch the end of this episode now. I can stop it now. I was so excited. I was like, okay, good. I'm good. It's fucking Jonathan Majors. I know the answer.
Yeah, that was such a crazy, like, so, like, it, so this is one of my big things that this show gives you that the other two really didn't. Because with WandaVision, everyone was hyping up Mephisto, right? With WandaVision, we were all on that train of, oh my God.
Well, he didn't do it?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and with Falcon Winter Soldier, there really wasn't any kind of like mystery.
Well, there was. It just sucked.
What was the mystery? The broken power broker?
Yeah, who was the power broker?
I didn't care about the power broker. I could care less about that. I mean, like, I cared about Mephisto. But this one, you're like, is it going to be Kang? And this is the first time where they paid it off, right? They gave you that payoff of, you. They could have gone a different route with it. They could have gone with, you know, someone else. Or
another Loki.
Yeah. There were a dozen ways they could have made this without it being Kang. And how pissed would we have been?
Oh, so pissed.
Right? Like, not pissed is the right word, but like...
Disappointed, maybe.
Yeah, disappointed. Yeah. Right, exactly. I think that was the right call to make, and I'm glad they did it, because I think this proves that, you know, we're going in a good direction.
Michael?
Edit that out. I just wanted to add to what Mark was saying, that something Ian had said. I forget his name, but the actor playing the Mortis...
Jonathan Majors.
John Mayer?
Jonathan Majors.
Oh, that's a different guy altogether. I liked the subtle cues.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're watching, you got the sense that even though he was joking around and making these snide remarks, that he was someone who's just tired and just done.
Well, he says it.
Right, but what I'm saying is that you kind of start to see it. You get that sense before he even says, yeah, like, I'm done, dude. Like, yeah, you guys take over. Like, kill me, don't kill me. I don't care. I love that. But you start seeing it in his performance before he even says that he's tired. Like, I like that. You just kind of see, like, the, why are we still playing this fucking game? Like, just take over. I'm done. And that's what really sold me on his performance.
You know what's really interesting when you bring that up is that I've been thinking about now is that when he first sees them, like, it's probably his first human interaction in God knows how long, right?
Yo, he was so happy to see them. He's like, guys, what's up?
And that's probably why he was acting the way he was acting, because he was so giddy, because he had probably hasn't had much human interaction in the years he's been in that role, right? So he's probably not used to being around people that often.
Meanwhile, they want to kill him. And he's like, can I get you slippers?
But like, yeah, he's so happy they're there to kill him. It's like, dude, this doesn't make any sense.
All he had was Miss Minutes.
Yeah.
Would you like a cappuccino? Would you like a drink?
And the fact that, like, you know, how long it's been since someone's been there. And then they're like, he who remains. And he's like, oh, is that what she's calling me?
Still calling me.
And
that?
He's like, but I like it. Yeah. So, you know, it's cool. I'm not going to change it.
That was so awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Just Michael, my two did thoughts. You like it?
Yeah. Just my two thoughts. I actually,
Mike, you're still here?
Like everybody else, I really enjoyed it. And what I enjoyed most really was just like the arc of Loki, right? Like, you know, we're so accustomed to him being this like mischievous asshole. Mm-hmm. And then by the end, he seems like somebody who genuinely like cares about the fate of the universe, which is something we never really thought we would have seen from Loki. So, you know, with that, you know, what do we think about, like, Loki? Or do we really think he's changed, right? Like, at the end, Sylvie, you know, questions whether or not he really was just trying to, you know, get his hands on the throne. And the show makes you believe that, like, you know, that he really had changed and he really did care about, like, trying to save the universe. But, you know, do we think that Loki is actually a changed character, right? Is this real? Mark, what do you think?
Yes, I do. So yeah, I do think Loki has changed. I think it's real because at this point, if he was to go back to his old ways, it would make all this almost pointless, right? I think that like him going through this entire character arc and all this development, if he goes back to his old ways, then, you know, I think that ruins the show. You know, right? If it goes back to those old ways, it kind of ruins it for me. And I think Sylvie is going to be that new character who has to like figure out whether she's good or bad, right? Whether she's go that Loki route, maybe become Enchantress, or, you know, maybe become another Loki variant, whatever. So I think Tom Hiddleston's Loki is now firmly in the hero category. And that Sylvie is probably going to be that questionable character of where her loyalties lie.
Yeah, but do we super love that he's turned into like a full-blown hero? Added question.
I actually do like it because, you know, you've seen him go from the villain to the hero in the Thor movies and in Infinity War. You've seen him.
Well, it's more like he gets caught out there and he feels bad.
That's Ragnarok, fair. But in Infinity War, he makes a sacrifice he doesn't have to make. Because like, what's that British actor who played the old Loki? Richard E. Grant. He says that, you know, he chose, I'm not going to fight Thanos, I'm going to hide, right?
Right.
He didn't make that sacrifice. That Loki did. Tom Hiddleston's character made that sacrifice for his brother. He didn't have to do that.
But the idea is that, you know, it's because Thor always stuck by him.
Right.
Thor gave him unconditional love that he felt with Sylvie or whatever he felt with Sylvie.
Mm-hmm.
And Sylvie was the first person in his life, because even Mobius was introduced to his life, but
conditional love.
No, but he still fucked him over.
Right.
So it was like,
that's what I mean. Yeah,
he still had Sylvie who hadn't been fucked over by him yet. So he was trying to preserve that as much as possible. And who's to say that Sylvie's not dead?
She's not dead.
Why? Who's to say that the next king didn't come over and just kill her?
I mean, it doesn't leave you the impression that she dies there.
Not yet.
No, I don't think, yeah. You know, I don't think so. But who's to say? I mean, they could have, they could totally cut back and the next scene is the next king showing up at that citadel and just being like, and just like killing her.
Oh, that's no fun.
That's
don't put that in the universe, Ian. Don't do that.
Yeah, well, I didn't, she's my least favorite part of the show. So.
Could they do that? Yeah, they could. But I think that just, again, I think Marvel's playing the long game. Like, I think they're going the Enchantress route for her, and you know,
I mean, they called her that throughout the whole show.
Sylvie, right?
Yeah.
Oh, the Enchanter, right?
Well, what did you do? I enchanted.
I enchanted him. Yeah, exactly. So,
like, what else are we doing?
I mean, she does have blonde hair,
and she does.
And she, yeah, and what was I saying? What was it quite? Oh, is it a good thing that Loki is?
How do we feel about Loki being going hero?
I like it.
Like full blown hero.
Full blown hero.
Did he really though?
I think
it's the other question,
right?
I think he did.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay. But to your point though about Loki, you know, even when he's, you know, fighting Sylvie and trying to hold on to that, it's not like the first time he's seen that kind of affection. He saw what Thor did for him in his memories, right? So it's not really the first time he's seeing it.
But he didn't feel it and experience it, is what I'm saying. Because really, like,
that's fair.
It's more like Loki doesn't realize what he should do until he sees the true power in somebody else. Like, he saw Thanos with the fucking Infinity Stones, and he was like, shit, I'm done. Like, I'm nothing compared to this dude. And he saw it again with Kang and recognized it, was like, oh, this dude is super powerful, and he's not bullshitting us. We're going to ruin everything.
Well, don't forget in the first episode when he saw how meaningless the Infinity Stones were to the TVA.
Right.
Like, yeah. That's to add to what you're saying. Like,
that
when he saw
them.
How
yeah.
he... They were ineffective. He's like, oh shit, like the TVA is like badass.
And so then he's now thinking this guy is powerful enough to stop Infinity Stones.
But it doesn't mean he's not a hero. It just means he's smart enough to know when, you know, it's kind of like what was it, Willie Nelson?
I didn't make
know
that
when
point.
To fold him.
No, but it's also, you see the panic in his face and you feel like he actually does. Like, he even tells Sylvie that, like, this is the fate of the universe. We can't play with this. This is something we just make like some.
Place so let's think about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk this through.
And she was a child.
He was reasonable. Was like, yeah, but let's think about it.
To your point, where you're saying that she was being a child.
Yeah.
Right.
She was good until
that moment.
No. What are we calling him now? Immortus.
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 He planted the seed, and he goes, "Can you trust him?"
That's what
him?
She said.
And that's where she started to turn. Because she was full blown into this.
But he did that to both of them.
Yeah. She had a right to be angry, though.
No, but I think if you look at Sylvie's life, right, she's been very, very much fueled by rage and betrayal and hasn't had the life experience that Tom Hiddleston and Loki has had, right? He's seen the actions or seen the consequences of his actions through the thing Mobius showed him and through his own life. So he knows what happens when you do shit like this, right? He's experienced and he's seen it. He sees how he dies. He sees, you know, what happens when you fuck with things you shouldn't be fucking with. And Sylvie does not have that experience in her life to know that when you make these kinds of decisions, that there are consequences that you might not be able to deal with, right? So I think in her defense to what Ian's saying, yeah, she's being a child, but she's also, you know, she kind of is a child. She hasn't experienced a lot.
She's still that hurt child that got messed up by the TVA, so she had this vengeful plot.
Right.
And you know what? That usually doesn't work because not everyone's Mel Gibson and the same payback.
Well, that
was a good movie, by the way.
Yes.
This kind of leads me to, in my opinion, is one of the most important or interesting questions coming out of Loki. Did they make the right decision? Is free will important enough to risk taking the gambit, right? Taking the chance of opening up this multiverse. That's a fascinating question, right? Is it worth it? And we still don't really know I think we all have an idea of what, you know, where Marvel's going with the multiverse, but it's kind of crazy to think that Sylvie it created the future of a phase four, right? In this one moment in a show, by the way, which is also interesting, right? This is a very important moment for the MCU and they did it in the show. But in any case, back to my question, was it worth it? Did they make the right call? Omar.
Well, I actually didn't. I want to answer the preceding question. Sure, yeah. Do I think Loki was a hero? I think he did. I did think he legitimately make a face turn, because I remember first episode when he saw the mainline MCU Loki die at Thanos' hands and see Odin say, "You are my sons and I'm proud of you," and his betrayal of his mother. I think that coupled with Owen Wilson's questions in the interview.
That white wine's really hitting you, huh?
Oh, el gato negro. I think that really had a profound effect on him. And I think if you go from episode one, I think it planted the seed of that face turn. And then by the time he witnesses everything and everything that he's gone through with Mobius and the TVA and Sylvie, I think by the time you get to Immortus at the end, he's like, there is a bigger picture. And that's what being a hero is. It's like you see the big picture and you're willing to sacrifice. And he almost seemed hurt when Sylvie accused him of just trying to get another throne. Like he's like almost like had that. And this is why Tom Hiddleston is a great actor. Like that whole, you could see in his face, he was hurt. Like, really? Like after all, like you don't get that I like you, that I'm changing because of you. Like, but despite his feelings for Sylvie, like, his motivation was protecting the Immortus because of what he said, and there being a bigger danger if they kill him. And to me, like that, the fact that he had a motivation bigger than himself, to me, is like, yeah, by the end of the, when all is said and done, by the end of the show, Loki became a good guy. And I think it was organic, it was well done, because it didn't happen like that, like over a second. It took the course of 3 Thor movies and 6, was it, how many episodes was this?
6
episodes of Loki, like, because he was still kind of on the fence for a couple of episodes, and then in that moment he made a choice. He was like, let's hear him out at the for no other reason than the consequences are too dire to just kind of like just go ape shit. In Sylvie's defense, considering how much her life was fucked because of all of this, I'd have stabbed the motherfucker the minute I saw him. Like, fuck the multiverse. Like, my life was ruined. I sympathize with Sylvie. So I don't think she's the villain. She's just hurt. Her life was ruined. Any semblance of happiness was taken from her. And I sympathize with that. So it's like, you know what? I'd have done the same shit. I'd have fucking killed him the minute I saw him.
But she said to Loki, I got pruned before you were born.
Mm.
Loki is 1,000 years old. So this broad has lived more than 1,000 years, and she hasn't gotten over this?
1,000 years living in, like, dead
on universe. On the run.
On the run, and like, apocalypses. Like, she's...
Yeah, she had to live in apocalypses, like, just to have a good afternoon.
Like, like when you're on the run for that long, like, you build up a lot of rage.
Yeah,
like,
Mark, tell us about it.
Tell us about your rage, Mark.
All I'm saying is that you're by yourself. There's nobody else. She finally found somebody else, and she got a chance for something good in her life, finally, after thousands of years, and she decides to kill the guy and say fuck you to the guy that she has feelings for.
Dude,
I think that, you
to
know,
be fair,
she is now the Loki, and now I hate her like I hated Tom Hiddleston.
To be fair, Ian. No, but to be fair,
it's not really, it's not fair.
Only, if vengeance was the only thing fueling you for like 1,000 years,
over going, 1,000 years,
yeah, going with your theory about how old she is. Yeah, I would be like, yeah, no, I'm not dropping this shit right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, one that.
Dude, but let
one new relationship that you just get into isn't going to change your life view, because, you know, look, like that, I'm sure that rage has been building for a long time. That must be hard to get rid of, right? You can't just like snap your fingers and be done with it.
Yeah, it would be unrealistic to go, "Oh, this boy likes me." So like, I'm just going to be peachy keen. Like, no, fuck that. I don't care if this guy likes me. I need fucking vengeance.
You also do see, though, that when she stabs him and she sees the branches, like...
She regrets it.
She totally regrets it.
Yeah,
right?
Because in that moment, she goes, yeah, this wasn't worth it, and shit's about to get really bad. But in that moment, right before, like, she needed it for catharsis. Like, yeah. She needed it.
Yeah, but
like,
she also just opened up a Pandora's box that could end up... result in the end of the universe, right?
So. But if you've been suffering for 1,000 years, you don't give a fuck about a billion, trillion strangers.
She could have just had sex with Tom Hiddleston. And maybe
did she have sex with Tom Hiddleston?
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't. That's what she needed to do.
I doubt that his sex game was so good that she would. Wow. He would erase 1,000 years of vengeance.
No, but like to your point though, like sorry, like yeah, when Sylvie, to Mike's point, when Sylvie kills Immortus, automatically does you see it right in her face? Also because Hiddleston told her like you're gonna regret this if you do this, and she's like. Yeah, he's fucking right. Basically, like,
yeah. But how many times in your life has someone said, "Don't do that. You're gonna regret
no,
it."
No, I'm
and
not.
And you go, "Yeah, fuck you."
I'm not.
You do it.
I'm not knocking it. Like, yeah. But
but it's not the fate of the all the universe.
That's what I'm saying. If you've been fueled by rage for like 1,000 years, you're like, I don't give a fuck about a bunch of strangers I don't know.
I also don't think she believed him. Like, she also, I don't think she believed what exactly. She wasn't. She says, "I think he's lying. I think he's lying."
I get that, but you got there once. You could get there again.
But well, plus, I mean, all Loki
it
was...
It took a lot to get there, though.
Plus, all Loki was asking was, let's just think about this.
Let's talk it over.
Right? Like, he was just like, let's take a pause.
Let's not do this.
Right? Let's just discuss it. And she was like, nope. Fuck you. Get out of my way.
But yeah. She kissed him.
Goodbye. Go to some other timeline.
To get him out of the way.
Go to some other timeline, wherever the fuck that is. I mean, I have a lot to say about those things, because everyone's saying different shit about that. But once you change it, who's to say a fucking other Nathaniel Richards showed up immediately? Because they're time travelers, so he could have just found the perfect time.
That.
He could have been the first, and that's why he ended up at the new TVA, because the TVA is just different. Like it could happen instantaneously.
Can we add? I was heartbroken when Mobius didn't recognize him.
That sucked.
Oh my god, I was because like he hugged him.
So does that mean that universe that where Mobius knew him is that gone now, or is it just that he's in a different universe?
So this is the argument that you and I have. Basically had the last three been discussing this
63 new branches
is if the sacred timeline is actually already a multiverse or is it not, and that to me is where
the confusion
comes in and how to understand this. Marvel has already come out and said that this is a different timeline.
That makes sense.
They've already come out and said at the very end that last scene of him realizing it's a different timekeeper, or the one who's a TVA, and Mobius is Gnome. They've already said that this is actually a different timeline.
Well, because we know it is, because even when before Immortus died, and they were arguing, he even said the branch. They're already branching. The timeline's already branching. So that means that, you know, there were already other alternate timelines out there when she pushed him through that gate.
Well, and also it's also set up by Immortus because right. she used his tempad. So she used his thing. So she had no idea where she was sending him.
Right.
She could have sent him to a totally different dimension.
Right.
And not even realized it. And he could have set that up. He could have known that was going to happen.
I think it was a test. I think he was testing them.
Because I mean that's the amazing part about that, right? Is like, you know, it's clear he had to have known he was going to die.
I don't think he knew. I think because like there was genuine fear in his eyes when they were fighting. He didn't know what was going to happen. I think he was like, let me see what they do, and if they made the right decision.
But if you
but don't
know,
forget
if
the
you,
threshold,
if you know all of time, and you
no,
don't,
he doesn't all the time. He said there's a threshold.
If you know all of time except for a certain point, and that's his what he calls, as Omar cut me off with, the threshold, you have to know that you're dying because you stop thinking. Because if he retires, as he was trying to put, he would remember that, and that would be part of his memory.
Oh, I think we're...
So he knew that his time ended because he couldn't remember anything from that time.
Is that what that means, though? Because, I mean, I think we're assuming that means that when he stops... having records of it, that's when he stops remembering. It could be that he didn't stop taking notes, and that means that he didn't know he didn't want to tell him his previous what would happen, right? Because he wanted him to go in, you know, open-minded, I guess, right? We're assuming that he, you know, because look, it's all written down in those little freaking piles of paper.
The guy's lived a million lives. You tell me he's not smart enough to figure out that, oh, I don't know anything else, or I'm dead. Like,
it's very Doctor Who.
I think he knows he died. He wants to die.
Yeah, I think he knows he dies, and he gives him that option as like, oh, you can do this, knowing that you're giving someone a choice. You're not just saying like, hey, I know you kill me right now, so you have to kill me. He has to give them a choice for them to kill him.
But... Aren't we
he's
at
giving
the
them a choice,
end?
But they don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Because he knows they do it already.
Exactly.
Yeah, but aren't we at the end of time? This is where this is?
Yes.
But technically, it's not written, which is why when he reaches that threshold and like it thunders and it like there's a, like a bell toll, he doesn't know what's going to happen because we've now reached and it's still writing itself because it's at the end. So
but
it's still
but
going.
I think the point of the bell or the rumble and the threshold is because he doesn't have anything. He knows he doesn't have anything written up until that point.
Right, because so now everything is coming is new.
Yeah, because he dies.
But
to Mark's point, he might not want to write that down because he doesn't want to tell himself that he has to die here. So he leaves it an open-ended question. So he's kind of just has to, at the end of time, has to be like, all right, this is what's happening. I have to just let this go.
Yeah, because I don't think, sorry, go.
What I was gonna say was he tells them when they walk in, it's just like, well, here are the choices. Mm-hmm. Either you take on the mantle and let the TVA continue as it is, and we don't break anything because it's fixed, or you kill me, you end it, and we'll end up here all over again at some point.
Exactly.
Which he understands. It's just like when you see the confusion and like the like a little kind of like you said, fear and maybe a little elation that he doesn't know what's going to happen.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
At that moment. And it's just like, for me, it's like, it's the end of time. So it's still writing itself because it's not technically the end. It's still going.
But yeah,
that's the thing. It's like, is this the same exact war that happened to begin with? And that's why we're all
but he
back,
says
you know,
it's going to
well,
restart
it, exactly,
itself.
It's gonna, yeah. So it's like rebirth, right? So he's tired. He's old. And then he even says it.
I'll see you again.
No. In the conversation, he says, when he's trying to sell them on the idea of like running this thing themselves, he says, this game is for the young and the hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, reincarnation. So he could be knowing, like, he could be getting excited because he knows that he's going to be reborn as a younger version of himself. So he's going to be hungry again, and he's going to have to do all this over again. Because what does Kang love the most? He loves to conquer. He loves to do these things. So he's going to go through that same whole cycle again to get back to
the timeline.
But Kang said that. Well, he could be lying. Said that, you know, there are only some versions of Kang that were conquerors, right? And some were just generally wanting to do the right thing.
Pure of heart.
Pure
yes.
of heart is what he said.
He said there was a lot. No, I think he was more. There was a little.
A few conquerors.
A few of them were not pure of heart.
He's Oh, I thought it was. I took it as most of them are bad.
No,
and there's a few that aren't.
He said there were a few bad. I think, if I recall, I think.
Right. No, he says some of us were congratulating ourselves, narcissistic, right. Like, oh, nice nose, right. Nice to meet you.
but there were a small few who were conquerors, right?
And not pure of heart.
Not pure
of heart. I love that line. Yeah. Some of us are conquerors. I loved how he had that pause. Like, so all the geeks at home were like, oh, yeah, King of Conqueror, yeah.
And I also find it, he didn't say his name. I guess they're clearly holding that out. But does that mean that? Because I mean, I guess that his version of Nathaniel Richards. Because that's not the question. Is this Nathaniel Richards? Is this
yes. Reed Richards? Yes. He said the year in the century he was born.
No, I know.
It has to be Nathaniel Richards.
Do you think that?
And this is the call, the casting call for non-white Fantastic Four.
I know. But but are we? Yeah, that's fair, right? Do we think Marvel's going to go there and make him Nathaniel Richards?
It doesn't matter. He could be a white Reed Richards in the MCU and still have a black descendant.
I'm not even going with the casting call. I'm just saying, do we think that the MCU will, because they've changed things in the past, right?
It's literally Lovecraft country.
Yes.
No, but do you think that the MCU will keep that, because they've changed things. They like to change it up, right? We all assume that he's going to be Reed Richards' son, but they've changed things in the past where it's not who you think it is. Right? Do you think they're going to stick to that?
No, I think he has to be. Of someone else. Seeing that he's the one that they put forward and he has so many connections, and most of his connections are the Avengers into the Fantastic Four, there's no way I think they change that. It has to be, you know, if it was a different century maybe, if he had said he was from a different time, mm-hmm. then I would say yes, but you can't. It's like all the signs pointed at Kang through this whole episode. He basically gave us everything saying of who he was.
No, I'm not saying that he's not Kang. I'm saying that are they going to make Kang?
Yes.
Not Nathaniel Richards.
No.
Okay. You don't think that?
I think they're going to. He's going to be Nathaniel Richards. I think they're going to show us the birth of Apocalypse, Ramatut, and there's going to be a lot of Egyptians involved. So I think that's pretty. I think it's going to be great to see him, and because he's going to span so he's going to touch so much in the MCU
that's
in
what
the
she
next
said.
5-10 years.
That was a stretch.
So I just want to say, like, I think that the fact that Kang is Nathaniel Richards in the comics, I think here's a thought.
Are you ready?
Kang could be the reason why there aren't mutants in the Fantastic Four. He might have removed them from the timeline for whatever reason, and that's how they bring in the X-Men and Fantastic Four.
There's so many things they could do with this. They don't even know. I mean, they do know it. They planned it already.
Oh, I think they know. They know.
Yeah.
So we're going to see Reed Richards. But to be fair, I also want to add, the difference between this and WandaVision is that, like you said earlier, we already knew that they casted Kang the Conqueror. So we knew that there was a guy playing Kang. So, yeah, like you said, all the signs made it point that.
Because honestly.
And we got the payoff.
Everything with Mephisto in WandaVision, other than the actual storylines from the comic books and the ties, were all stretches for the most part. Like, it was a big stretch. Like, there was nothing as concrete as they did inside Loki for Kang Mephisto for WandaVision.
I think that was more like we were hoping it was Mephisto.
Yeah, because
we all knew it wasn't Mephisto.
We were starving for content, and that was really what it came down to.
Yo, I'm going to tag Gato Negro in the podcast.
El Gato Negro.
It's the highest selling wine at Duane Reade.
Not Duane Reade, liquor stores. Because, okay, first of all, it's 13%. And they will not sell more than 6 in Duane Reade or Walgreens.
So just want to come back to the question I asked earlier. And it sounds like we'll probably agree that, well, actually, I'm not sure. So just around whether or not it was worth it, right? Was this the right decision?
Yes.
Yes.
So you guys think that it was the decision to kill
Kang or
kill, Mark's done
to kill Kang, not for Omar to drink Gato Negro. That was the wrong decision.
Yeah,
I'm talking about.
Okay. Fuck, it was delicious.
Was it the right decision to kill? Yeah, to kill Kang.
I mean,
and open up the multiverse
now because
and destroy the TVA.
I think clearly it's pointing towards no, but like I think Immortus's way of ruling was too stringent. There's probably a middle ground of how you could, like, I think if Loki and Sylvie had actually, you know, tried to rule and rule like in a different manner, maybe it's a better way for, you know, the sacred timeline to work. But again, you know, who knows? I could be wrong.
Yeah, no, this is a question because we don't know what's going to happen, right?
But yeah.
I think it's really more of a philosophical question, right? Like, think about the Matrix for a second, right? Like, when Morpheus was trying to, like, you know, break Blue people pill, out of the Matrix.
Red pill stuff.
Right? Was that, like, the right thing to do? Like, people were, like, completely happy in the Matrix. So we might be going a little off the deep end here, but like this is the same thing though,
that's
right?
Because
like,
yeah.
like
in but the it's not real
in the TVA.
No, it's
people are real. Safe, right? Like they're not dealing with this like multiverse war, and the end of the universe isn't like suppressed.
What might happen is that you need like maybe the multiverse needs to go through this war in order for it to really you know find free will. Maybe this needs to happen.
And, oh bullshit!
I'm gonna stop. Sorry. Maybe these things need to happen, right? Maybe you need to go through this in order for you to find, because when you keep, when you keep forcing the same path on people, to your point, it's not free will. Maybe in order for you to find true free will and is for you to go through these hardships, right? Maybe there's something to going through all that. And my guess is that the Avengers and the Fantastic Four will find a way to beat Kang and still, you know, keep things free. That's my guess.
I mean, do you ever beat Kang?
They do beat Kang, and he comes back.
Everywhere. Exactly. He's a Nexus being. Like, that's the thing. Is like, is it going to end up being like Black Widow? Scarlet Witch versus him? Like, it's like two Nexus beings versus each other.
I mean, I think
she's going to be the way. It's like her and Doctor Strange together are going to be able to try and, you know, kind of patch up the multiverse.
I think it'll be something along the lines of where, like, you'll have to defeat him, but then, like, you'll have the Council of Kangs coming and just trying to rein in all the bad ones. And just try and keep everything, you know, steady and not without being stringent, without destroying all these timelines for no good reason.
Like it's weird that he just didn't go back and kill himself.
It wouldn't solve anything.
Why?
He's one variant being. You can't go because like there are look the way you explained it, there are multiple there are layers on layers of all these multiverses, right? So if he goes back and kills himself, he's going to kill every single variant.
No, he has to kill every king. No, every king has to die. Because eventually they're going to figure it out.
That's essentially what he kind of
does. Because he's the only person that did it.
Well, that's essentially kind of what he does, though, with Eliath, right? Eliath swallows up all those branch timelines.
Well, because he creates Eliath.
No, he
doesn't. Creating...
He finds Eliath. Eliath.
No, he said in this that because of all the everything that they started doing, it created these tears, and Eliath became that from that.
No, I don't think... I don't think Eliath was created by...
Or he unlocked Eliath because the Terminator did?
Right. They unlocked Eliath because the Terrors...
Nice little reference they did at the end of that movie show, too.
Very sexy.
I was talking about the name of the diploma, which was Terminae, which is a nod to Terminatrix, but that's just me.
So Ian, so you think that it was the right decision to destroy the TVA?
No, I don't think so at all.
Oh, okay.
I literally have said I hate Sylvie so far on the show. Okay. So I'm the only person that said that. So I don't like her character, and I think that it was really kind of like when he said that to her first, and then he said it to him, and I knew it because she kept saying, "You're gonna stab me in the back. You're gonna stab me in the back." So what's the only turn that can happen? I stab you in the back. That was what's gonna happen. And technically, she didn't. She kicked him out. She didn't kill him. You know, she loved him enough or cared for him enough to be like, "I'm not going to kill you and just do what I want. I'm going to let you go to some random place."
Still a betrayal.
No, totally. I mean, it's the same thing Mobius said to him, right? You know,
well, technically, he still betrayed Loki. I mean, as for all she was like, "Oh, you're going to betray me. You're going to betray me."
That's what Ian just said. Gato Negro. And Ian, by the way, I agree. I'm not a fan of Sylvie either. I mean, especially after what she did at the end. But throughout the show, you know,
she had a reason, like she's justified.
Okay, so what do you think? Do you think it was the right thing to do?
I'm not saying that she was right. I'm just saying that I understand. Like the Chris Rock joke.
No, I get it. Do you think it was the right thing to do though?
No, I don't think it was the right thing to do.
So Erica, what do you
think? But here's the thing. The whole argument that Immortus has about, "Well, I had to do it," I think it's just a bullshit excuse. Like he could have gotten people in the TVA who were on board with what he was doing. He didn't have to erase their lives, their memories, and all that. He could have achieved the same end legitimately without lying to people.
Well, what's interesting is
I just feel like it was an excuse on his part to justify his bullshit.
Well, who's to say he didn't do that several times until he got it right?
But he didn't. We don't know because he didn't say.
Yes, he did. Well, no, but he said the best way. He literally said this is the best way.
But he also did say that you guys could rule and tell everybody like the whole thing, tell them what they're fighting for, right? So he did open up that option, right? That you could actually be truthful and tell people why like the TVA exists. Erica, what do you think? The question is, did they make the right decision by destroying the TVA and killing Kang or whoever he is?
Immortus.
El Gato Negro.
That does fall into it too. There's a lot of time stuff happening here. I keep saying Doctor Who. If you watch... That's a fair comparison. Well, like, if you've never watched Doctor Who, which I'm sure many haven't, President Company included.
But we know of Doctor Who.
This is right, the Matrix also,
If you watch season 3, episode 10, it's called Blink, and it's legit what this is. So Doctor Who disappears, and there's a DVD that keeps getting played, and he's answering questions that people are asking.
All right, for people that want to go look at this online. Season 3, does that mean like 1968? Or are we talking like season 3, 2015, cycle 47 for Doctor Who? Because there's so many cycles for that freaking thing. I don't know what's going on that show.
Wow.
Well, no. It's season 3, 2007, David Tennant, episode 10. The episode is called Blink. You can find it on HBO Max. You can find it online on YouTube. So in that episode in particular, there's a script the way... Immortus he shows Loki and Sylvie, like he knows what's happening because it's written down, right? He already knows. So it's kind of the same idea. Even the way they're transported in those portals happens in Doctor Who, just saying. And Time Bandits, if you want to get super old. Bandits.
Well done.
Classic Time Bandits.
Time Bandits is one of my favorite movies growing up. So there's a lot of that. Do I believe it was right what was done? I mean, you sit there and you say as a human being, you want free will. That's what you're understanding. But to their point, no one has free will but the ruler to try to keep everything in line and people, you know, moving forward. So it's a little hard, I think. I mean, there's a part of me that says, yes, we want free will. So yes, bring it all down. But then you see the repercussions, right? Like now we have to deal with this possible war and obviously a bigger bad than Immortus.
All right, so let's shift gears and talk a bit about someone we haven't talked about yet at all. Ravonna Renslayer, right? We see her kind of go somewhere in search of free will. Any thoughts on what she's up to?
I mean, I don't know where she went. Obviously, none of us do. But she got the information from Kang or from Immortus. So you have to kind of assume... I don't think she's going after herself. I think he's leading her to an early version of Nathaniel Richards to kind of push him into the point to kind of go in this direction if he hasn't already. I think there's some sort of tie to them. I don't know if it has, because obviously he's from the 31st century, so he wasn't in class in 2018, so she wasn't his principal. So that theory is out there. So obviously he fell in love with her somewhere, and maybe he's putting her on the path that he knows that she has to get on, which is where they eventually meet, which could be where she becomes the Terminatrix, and she goes forward with that stupid storyline in the 90s because she was the one who released Eliath.
By mistake.
But... it has to be tied to him, to me. You know, there's no. I don't think he's gonna.
Because they're lovers in the comics, right?
Yes, they're love. They were married. He killed her. She killed him. Like, you know, there's so many things that they've gone on, but they've always been tied to each other.
Hashtag goals.
Yes. and I assume you get someone like her who's young and Gugu Bhatra, who's a great actress. You know, you don't want to just use her as some passive female because honestly, I mean, Marvel hasn't handled women greatly, you know, amazingly in most of their time, as far as giving them their due in their own storylines and movies. So it would be kind of cool to kind of see them build this character out a little bit further.
Any other thoughts on Ravonna? Yeah.
Yeah, she sucked.
I mean, so when I first saw the casting of her, I was kind of disappointed because she's a great actress. I was like, why is she doing this small little role? Thinking it was a whatever role. But now that, you know, I know who she is and where it could possibly lead, it makes a lot more sense why they picked her. Because she is a good actress, a very good actress. I'm curious to see what they do with her.
Well, I think if you read the comics, you would know that she's not a minor character.
No, I
mean, she's actually a pretty important
character. I didn't know who her character was from the original casting. I just saw she was in it. I didn't know who she was.
To answer the question, like, where did she go, right? So she's like in search of free will. Now, because she tends to be his love interest, like, is she going to do that? Like, go find all the other variants? Is she the calming factor?
Or the killer? Or the other way?
Who's love interest?
Is she the inciting factor?
Kang. She's Kang's
she's
love.
She's Kang's love interest.
They basically have been tied throughout time. I think she's going because only going on writing and going on what was said in that scene where she asked for the files on the beginning of time or the end of time. And she was given something else and she looked at it and made up her mind like, oh, this is good enough. I'm going to go figure something else out. Like,
find free will.
I don't, I think that's bullshit. That was just something she said to
piss off
to Mobius because Mobius was on this kick of like, hey man, let's chill out and go on the jet ski.
To your point, if you look at the writing, she's pretty much in favor of what this Kang did, right? She believes there's a reason, so there's a tie already with the two of them because they have the same.
She didn't necessarily believe in it. It was a whole like, it's that whole like, I've been played for like my entire life. I need to like justify what I've done all this time. Like, it's more of a, everything that I thought was real was like bullshit, and now I have to
she was very conscious of what was happening. I think it's more of, to your point, when she's arguing with Morbius, she says the only one that has free will is the one in charge, right? Because if not, there's chaos. But towards that end, like when she's walking away, and that's when he's like, where are you going? Because she was packing up the stuff based on whatever it is that Miss Minutes said.
Gave her.
He feels that you, like, he wants you to look at this. It'll be better.
Maybe, think of it this way. If only person in charge has the free will, and she's going in search of free will, wouldn't it make sense then that she wants to control the person who creates the TVA?
Right, which is another version of Kang.
Right. So maybe she...
But that's what I'm saying. As the love interest, because, you know, when you got that fire...
Like she's going back in time to find...
Oh, you can control it.
Right. She's going to go to find Nathaniel Richards and then turn him into Kang or whoever she wants him into, right?
She might be the reason why he turns into Immortus.
Right. Into
but
Kang.
That's what I'm saying.
Or into Kang. Maybe she's the inciting factor why Kang becomes a conqueror.
Mind but that's what I'm saying. Blood. It's like,
no, but he's already the conqueror and then becomes Immortus.
You don't know that, though. From what I took from was that there were, because generally speaking, when they were meeting each other, they were about making their worlds better, right? They're trying to, you know, taking knowledge from one dimension, passing to another, and making everything better.
Exchanging wisdoms and
right, exactly. It was a progressive, the way he explains it, good intentions, right? But then he says there were a few bad apples, a few other variants of myself that were evil. And had they wanted to conquer. So he could be lying. Fair. He's putting himself, he's not calling himself a conqueror. He's saying that they were conquerors. I was not. I was just trying to defend my realm.
But yes, I get that. But a king with his back against the wall will turn into the conqueror. So I think they all eventually did that once the war started, and whoever was the bravest and not the bravest, but the strongest to stay alive is what happened. And that's the thing, is that you're battling yourself, which is the craziest thing ever to think of.
Which kind of fits in the whole theme of like Loki versus Loki. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I was just going to say, so why don't we kind of wrap up the Loki conversation with the future, right? What does this show mean for the MCU? And I think my question is,
Kang.
You know, do we think that Kang is going to be the big bad, or is the multiverse itself like the big bad? The threat of all of the different possibilities that the multiverse opens up, is that the big bad? What do you guys think, Omar?
First of all, I think Emmett Brown and Marty McFly are going to be the villains of Phase 4. And also, what?
That one did not land.
Yo, Ian's face was perfect. It was absolutely beautiful.
This is the only time you miss Zoom because I can't like physically look at you and be like, dude, oh, I just saw
Ian,
your face.
Ian just did this. He did it. Oh my God. It was.
And for
absolutely...
those that don't know, that's Back to the Future.
Oh my God. Loki.
Actually, sorry, guys. Before we probably should have opened with like an explanation of like who Kang is in the comics, right? For the more casual fans, who is Kang, right? We keep on talking about Kang and...
He's not Emmett Brown.
It's from the 31st century. He is a descendant of Nathaniel Richards.
Wait, isn't he Nathaniel Richards?
He is Nathaniel Richards, but Nathaniel Richards is Reed Richards' father. Right. Anyway, Kang, as they say in the show, he, you know, basically discovers time travel, starts traveling around. One of the first things he does is he goes back to ancient Egypt and he becomes Rama Tut, in which case he creates Apocalypse in ancient Egypt, and then has had many different forms, including Kang the Conqueror, fighting the Avengers and the Fantastic Four. He's also been a Mortis, who basically in the comic books, the timekeepers, the last three timekeepers, basically were trying to find, coming to their end. And they decided that they struck a deal with Kang after being a bad guy for so long that he would basically take over and start fighting for the timeline itself and become good and make sure that, and keep the timeline in shape, which is what we have essentially at the end of the show.
And he can also travel through time and go back and bring back weapons from the future, to try to defeat his enemies.
His
ship,
yeah. He has a big ship he brings out once in a while.
Yeah, and then he also has his own place, the Chronopolis,
Did they confirm that that was what was in the Quantum Realm? Yes, that was Chronopolis, right?
I don't think they've confirmed that. But
everyone thinks
so. The thing is, like, it can be now, right? That could be another Kang in the Quantum Realm.
Trapped in it, but never...
Not trapped. It could have just been a dude that went to the Quantum Realm and was like, all right, I'm there. I'm going to be here.
I'm hanging out.
You know, he could be totally different from the Kang that's running the TVA. He could be totally different from the Mortis that we've seen.
Kangs, right?
Yeah. And we're going to see them all, and we'll see. And it's going to drive every fucking MCU
back to the question, though, right? So do we think, like, is the future of Phase 4 going to be based on Kang? Is Kang Phase 4 is Thanos?
Yeah, I think that's a good safe bet. I mean, Kang is a Thanos level villain. His time traveling and have always made him a huge threat to the Avengers and the Fantastic Four. So it makes sense he'd be the next big bad.
But don't forget, like the Avengers, there was a comic series, Avengers Forever. Like that was like a year long storyline. Mm-hmm. Where Kang was like the main villain.
Yeah,
that was big storyline.
First of all, I think I highly recommend that. It's in trade form now.
Mm. Oh, I've been dying to read that.
I have it at home. It's fantastic. It's like, I'm not a huge Avengers fan, and this is before the films came out. This is back when I was still watching, I was still reading comic books.
I was one for of the cool most part, kids.
But I wasn't a huge Avengers fan, and that storyline opened me up to them so much. It was great.
Yeah. So everyone outside, like, listening, download Avengers Forever.
As opposed to people inside listening?
Yes.
Inside this podcast this podcast?
We're gonna make mistakes.
Sometimes, Mike, you got to let the black cat out.
Gato negro.
Sorry.
You were talking, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's fine.
No, all right, good. So
we're all drunk.
So all I had to say is I think they've actually already come out. I think they came out like the last couple of days, Marvel itself, and said that he will be the big bad.
I think I've heard that too.
But I think there's going to be multiple big bads. I think there's going to be big bads that are going to come and go. Obviously, they need to build up Dr. Doom, mm-hmm. and they're behind on that at this point.
I think
they kind of did that with him in this, with Loki, Jonathan. Right. With Jonathan Majors. They made him like this likable character, because the next time we see him, folks, he's going to be an
asshole.
And you're going to think he's going to be that fun-loving dude that you're going to see, and he's going to be some fucking crazy-ass person, and you're going to be like, I don't like this character anymore.
I think that with Doom, I think they're going to take the long approach with Doom, like to your point. Give him the movie, because I think... A Doctor Doom movie by himself, because like they've never done him right.
Well, you would have had Doctor Strange in that. He's part of that story.
I know, but you've never had Doctor Doom done right. Like the early 2000s version was trash at best, you know. But and the new one was even worse. Like getting Doctor Doom right is for the future of the MCU is very important. Like you need to make sure you nail his character and his story.
By the way, can we complete a Marvel? Please get Doctor Doom right. He's like their best villain.
Is Dr. Doom on the same level as Thanos and Kang?
Yes.
Fuck yeah.
Yes.
It's Dr. fucking, it's in the name, dude. Yeah.
He's a scientist who also is a master of the mystic arts. So he's basically like a human version of those guys.
So is Doom maybe like the next phase is?
I think you're going to have a thing where Kang might be the next immediate threat for the next couple years. I think they're going to slowly build up Doom to eventually surpass Kang. Because Doom is such a big, all the heroes can fight Doom, right? All the heroes.
Dude, and original comics, Doom fought every Spider-Man, Avengers, Fantastic Four. Like, he's Marvel's, if you look at the comics, like, he's almost like Marvel's, like, big bad. Above anyone else. Like, he's Marvel's Skeletor.
I think Thanos trumps
Megatron.
Like, he's Marvel's Earth. Bad,
yeah, he's
because he has limitations, right. Because he's a human still, but he's not Ultron, he's not a god, he's not an alien,
he's not Galactus.
He's as smart as Reed Richards, who's defeated Galactus, who's done crazy shit with his intelligence, and he could have been Sorcerer Supreme. So he's conquered science and magic. You don't get much better than that.
Also, yeah. to your point, though.
Isn't
also
it
to,
the same thing?
Also, to your
and
point.
And Dr. Doom drinks Gato Negro.
No, it's not. Also, also, if you read the comics, the recent comics, Dr. Doom was the one who started, I think it was the new Secret Wars?
Yes.
And that destroys everything. So,
and he only lost to fucking Molecule Man, who's literally the most powerful character in Marvel.
So it's going to be interesting because this really, I mean, this had to happen, right? It had to happen in the sense that they needed this plot point.
Yeah.
The MCU needed this to be able to say, okay, now we can introduce all these Spider-Men. We're going to get a trailer soon. We're going to get a trailer soon because they were waiting for the Loki series to end because this will finally show the Everyman what the fuck multiverses mean and why they happened. So now we can do anything we want. And, you know, we got the black and gold suit, so we know what that means.
And don't forget Blade. I feel like it was...
Vampires.
It was a throwaway line.
Right.
Oh, no, totally. Yeah.
Mobius
yeah.
mentioned vampires.
Yeah.
And we had the supernatural brought up with the Darkhold and WandaVision. So I feel like the supernatural event, like they're trying to like keep it on the low.
Well, no, it's coming.
But it's it's going to be a big thing.
The only thing holding Blade back right now is looking for a director. Like once they find a director, that movie is going to be greenlit.
Well, they're running out of spaces for now. They're running out of spaces for now. So he's going to be on the back burner for a while. But you have Moon Knight coming, right?
Show.
So you have that. You have you're going to have that. You know, and then. Who knows what they're going to do with it. I mean, honestly, I'll still say I think that this Spider-Man inside the Sony universe is going to end up being Tobey Maguire again.
I'm fine with Tobey Maguire being their Spider-Man as long as Tom Holland sticks with
the MCU. Well, that's the other thing, that they're saying that Tom Holland's gone for a while. Like, and that's the thing I think I said that we don't discuss this, Multiverse of Madness. In the WandaVision episode, or we didn't do WandaVision episode, so scratch that. So fuck you. Is that
peak.
Yes, peak Japanese
peak
whiskey.
Japanese whiskey.
You don't have to drink much. As long as Omar drinks it, you'll get drunk.
Is it a true story?
At the end of Multiverse of Madness, or it's possibly Spider-Man 3, he goes away. Into the multiverse. So now he gets sucked into that universe. Ugh. And he's no longer in the MCU. So there's now a hole for Spider-Man, and therefore Miles Morales will probably be able to come out of nowhere.
That's what she said.
Even though he's already canon in the MCU,
right,
with his uncle. And then they can take Tom Holland, put him in that universe, and when they're finally done with that, bring him back over to the MCU and
older,
then cross over
with Miles Morales,
Venom,
Morbius,
and all those characters.
So what you're saying is that
let me put this together.
Can you bring up the beginning of the Loki finale so I can just show Mark what I'm trying to say with those two black holes?
That's what she said.
There you go. See that one? That one was good. I'll give you that one.
Drink.
Drink.
Oh, I know you're talking about those two
just,
big. Those
yeah,
two
I'm just saying he's going to go from one of those to the other one, and that's essentially what's going to happen.
No, that's because, fine. No,
because the plot points that I've heard, the plot leaks of Spider-Man,
right,
are so ridiculous. It sounds like a fucking Lego movie.
I know. So like,
I'm so fucking like, if this is
those are actually pretty good.
No, what I'm trying to understand is,
so he's going to go from one of those
to one of those
to one of those.
Yeah, yeah. No, but what I'm trying to say is that
that
looks like a lot of things.
It's like a lot of things.
It looks like Marty Feldman's eyes.
Can we give Marvel credit for like accurately depicting a black hole? That's what she said.
Omar, what is a how do you know what a black hole looks like?
They took a pic. Scientists took a picture of it this year.
We're not going there.
70%.
So, with that.
Don't you start, woman.
According to Omar, 70% of the human body is water, guys.
Made out of water.
Made out of water, guys. Thank you, Omar.
Like, I see the numbers climbing.
Are you sure?
Okay, so we'll leave the conversation there. Thanks for listening to the Inebriated Podcast. Check us out on Instagram at... What's our... Is it Inebriated?
At Inebriated.
At Inebriated. And also on Twitter now...
For debriated.
What is it? Is it debriated?
It's debriated.
That's
fuck
gotta,
you, Mark.
That's got to be changed. That's got to right. be changed.
Maybe don't check us out on Twitter just yet.
No, that's Twitter. I can't change that.
You can change that in Twitter. Yes, you can change that.
I didn't change it because I don't want to be Jack-Jack about it.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
Is that bad?
We'll see you soon. Cheers.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Sorry,
Gato Negro.
Sorry, I messed up.
Gato Negro.
Black Widow sucks.